This is the Get Ready to Rockcast. Classic rock, music, news and interviews.
Welcome to the second episode of the Get Ready to Rockcast, 30 minutes of classic rock, music, news and interviews. You can track this episode by following the links at www.getreadytorock.com. In the next half hour, you'll hear interviews with singer-songwriter Linda Lewis, who tells us about her Glastonbury experiences back in 1971. Steve Hogarth of Marillion on the band's UK tour. And upcoming band Public Symphony. But we're starting off with a piece of instrumental guitar music by a guy who won the Guitarist magazine Guitarist of the Year in 2000 and who went on to perform with the melodic rock band 10. Chris Francis's current album, Studs and Sisters, was given a 4-star review by GRTR. Here's a track from it called Light It Up. We'll be right back. answers and light it up. Check out our review by following the link to album reviews and then use the drop-down box or A to Z listing. Rockcast.
Get ready to rock news.
Now, global warming is bad for the planet, but hotter, drier summers are good for the many music festivals that grace a calendar from June to August. The Knowsley Hall Music Festival takes place on June the 23rd and the 24th at Knowsley Hall, Prescott, Merseyside, and the lineup includes The Who, Keen, The Coral, The Zootons, and Joss Stone. This year's Guildfest, 13th to the 15th of July at Stoke Park, Guildford, includes Supergrass, Squeeze, and Madness. This is an event which is great for the family, with an enormous number of activities for kids. The Acoustic Festival of Britain takes place again this year near Nantwich in Cheshire, July the 28th and the 29th. Headliners are Jethro Tull, who we featured in our first Rockcast, and there are appearances from Squeeze's Chris Difford, The Saw Doctors, an acoustic Whitesnake with Bernie Marsden, Hazel O'Connor and Midge Ure. The Cambridge Rock Festival features headliners Thunder and classic rock acts including Wishbone Ash, Dr. Feelgood and the Australian Pink Floyd Show. The action takes place 16th to the 19th of August in Godmanchester, near Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire. But of course, Glastonbury is the granddaddy of all festivals and makes its reappearance this year from June the 22nd to the 24th. Some 135,000 tickets were sold within 2 hours when they went on sale at the beginning of April to those who'd pre-registered their interest in the event. Back in 1971, singer-songwriter Linda Lewis was among the musicians at the very first festival, then called the Glastonbury Fair, and celebrated in the film of that name. Linda went on to become one of the UK's most popular singer-songwriters in the 70s, and she's appeared in countless sessions with the likes of Bowie, Cat Stevens and Rick Wakeman. In March, she toured with the Soul Britannia All-Stars, a musical collective showcasing the glory years of UK soul music. GRTR's David Randall asked her about her recollections of Glastonbury.
Tell us, Linda, about your first Glastonbury back in 1971. Reading one of the books about the festival, it appears you didn't really remember too much about the events because of the circumstances at the time, but how did you get involved in the festival in the first place?
Well, I used to live in this, like, hippie commune, and one of the people who lived there was a DJ called Jeff Dexter, and he was part of the whole Glastonbury setup. He was a DJ there at Glastonbury. And this house that we used to share, people like Mark Bolan used to drop around, and David Bowie, and people like that. So they were all on the very first Glastonbury before it became, you know, sort of commercial. It was the very, very first one. I think it was 1971 or 72. And we just all went down there in the sort of big van and we were just going to camp out. And then he said, well, would you like to do a little spot, you know, 15-minute spot? And I remember going round and it was just me with my guitar. But I wanted to find someone to play some bongos. So I went round the audience asking if anybody could play the bongos. So that's how loose and free it was in those days. And I appeared on there with Terry Reid. And I do remember doing that because it just happened that I kind of was standing at the side of the stage and Terry Reid saw me and he just told me, come on. And I went on and started to warble. And when the band tried to stop, I kept warbling. And and so when you see, there was a film made by Nicholas Roeg that shows me just going off into the atmosphere and Terry Reid looking a little bit sort of confused about what was going on. But we did eventually end the song and it was lovely. The whole vibe was very, very sort of flower child and, you know, people walking around with hardly any clothes on and it's lots of mud, I remember that. And So I mean, I've appeared at Glastonbury since then, and I've done, like, I was there about 3 years ago with my band, and it was lovely. It's still nice, you know. But the first Glastonbury, obviously, is always the one that's going to stick in my mind. And Terry Reid just contacted me recently, in fact, and hopefully, if he does this year's Glastonbury, and I'll be standing at the side of the stage, and he'll do exactly the same thing, but I'll know when to stop this time.
Singer-songwriter Linda Lewis.
Get ready to rock. Check out our competitions page. Your chance to win CDs and DVDs.
In June, prog rockers Marillion take to the road for the UK leg of a European tour promoting their new album, Somewhere Else. Since the departure of frontman Fish in 1987, the band have further developed their own particular brand of prog, and the new album has been hailed as one of their finest. We gave it a 5-star review and commented, "Where Somewhere Else succeeds is that no track becomes indulgent or abrasive, and for the most part it weaves a chill-out, mellow soundscape that's only broken by the characteristic big vocal choruses, where Hogarth sounds as if he's pleading for his life. He doesn't have to. This is all good stuff." David Randall asked vocalist Steve Hogarth about plans for the forthcoming tour.
What can fans expect on the forthcoming European and UK tour? Presumably you'll be playing tracks off the new album.
What we're thinking of doing with this one is trying to make it more spontaneous than it has been in the past. With each gig we'll try and play 4 or 5, maybe 5 or 6 songs of the 10 from the new album, and a cross-section of music from our past as well. But that will vary from night to night. We're probably going to have 7 or 8 hours. Oh, it sounds ludicrous. 7 or 8 hours of music programmed and rehearsed. So we'll be in a position really where we can change the show from night to night. So we'll probably create a framework of songs that appear every night. Otherwise our lighting designer will commit suicide. He's going to need something to work with as a framework. But then I think around that framework we will add songs more or less in the moment, and we'll change the set list nightly. And that provides us with a challenge. It's something we haven't really done too much of before. And it also means that the fans who come to more than one show won't be seeing the same thing twice. You know, if you come to 2 or 3 gigs, you probably hear the whole of the album live across the 3 of them, instead of sitting through the whole album live in one, you know.
I mean, that's great if you can do that, but a lot of bands seem to play to a set formula, don't they?
You know, even what the singer says in between.
Oh yeah, it's almost scripted, isn't it, really?
It is almost scripted. I went and saw Paul McCartney and on his last tour, and I really enjoyed the first gig, and then I went again later on in the tour, saw it again and realised it was exactly the same, you know, word for word, from moment to moment. Almost like he could have been miming not just the songs, but he could have been miming what he said in between the songs, and he could have mimed it all, and I thought that was a shame, you know. I mean, why not have a real conversation with the crowd? You don't have to give them all that patter, you know. Why not just tell them how you really feel? But it's not really what we're about, you know. What we're about is in the moment.
Is there anything else, Steve, that you want to achieve personally in music, or have you reached your goal with the current Marillion situation, where you've got an awful lot of control, a very good, solid fan base?
I still feel like, you know, there may be an amazing song left in me somewhere, you know. And so it's really just a case of striving for that. It's as simple as that. Just a desire to explore and improve and maybe one day, you know, write the ultimate song. That's only in my head. It actually worries me that I'm so happy at the moment. From a creative point of view, personally, domestically, privately, and of course professionally, because all 5 of us are feeling good about this record, and particularly good about the fact that we haven't got such a steep hill to climb for the next one, which is going to enable us to relax and really enjoy this tour this year.
Okay, final question for you, Steve. Going back through some 20 years of recording with Marillion, what are your particular favourite albums, or maybe your favourite album, and why is that?
The 2 that stick out for me are Brave and Afraid of Sunlight. They feel like important important album. Afraid of Sunlight, I think, is my favourite. Although I think Brave, by its nature, it's dark. And I'm very proud of Marbles as well. Those three. But that might be just because I've listened to them more recently. And whenever I go back to any of them, I'm going to sound immodest, but I am really pleasantly surprised when I go back to them. They're always better records than I remember them. It's terrible being a singer because you've always got to listen to the sound of your own bloody voice. You know, and I've often thought, you know, if anyone else in the world had sang on this song, I'd probably much prefer it. You know, it's a drag to have to listen to your own voice. It's like staring at yourself in the mirror. You know, you'd much rather look at someone else, really.
You're being very hard on yourself there, Steve. Well, thanks very much for the chat, and best of luck to you and the band for the tour in the UK, which starts in June. Thanks, Steve.
A pleasure. There's no such thing as an answered prayer.
And No Such Thing from their new album Somewhere Else. You can hear our extended interview with Steve Hogarth, where he talks about the new album, by following the links to the album review at www.getreadytorock.com.
You're listening to the Get Ready to Rock Rockcast. Classic rock, news, reviews and interviews.
GetReadyToRock.com.
Get ready to rock the rising stars.
Appearing with Marillion at their London Forum shows in June are one of GRTR's favourites, Public Symphony. The band's debut album was critically acclaimed by the music press, drawing comparisons with Coldplay, Pink Floyd and Marillion. David Randall asked Dobbs Vi, the band's songwriter and frontman, what's been happening over the past 12 months.
Well, it's been a tough 12 months, actually, looking back. We've ridden an industry roller coaster in the sense that we got on board management, we talked to major record labels, we did some big gigs at the Hammersmith Apollo and Bush Hall and things like that, and got music industry showcases, record companies, that sort of thing. Radio showcase up in Sheffield, that was hilarious in the rain. At the end of that, learned a lot about the record industry, really. I think the major record companies are in big trouble. We're beginning to learn more about that, that they're not really being terribly profitable. So they seem to be putting their money into things that are dead certs, that have already got some independent momentum going. You know, I think the independent scenario is always in the back of our heads, that really was the way that's where our hearts lie. You know, we've done so much on our own, creating the artwork, creating the videos, etc., etc., that to hand it over to a major wasn't really an ideal scenario. But we sort of chased that, and I think it was probably not the right thing to do.
And you have got a support slot with Marillion in June, haven't you, in London?
Yes, playing to June the 15th and June the 16th.
How are you going to approach that gig then, Dobbs? How are you going to prepare for it?
What I'd love to do is to create a 40-minute set so that we can play along with visuals, because they're not sort of standard music videos. They're all very arty, entertaining, and I'd really love that to be part of our live set. So I'm trying to work it so that we can reduce perhaps the scale of musicians on stage and use more visual experience.
I think you play keyboards, don't you, and guitar. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And what does James then, your partner James Reynolds, does he appear on stage?
Yes, he's also on keyboards and computer. He's also in charge of sound on stage. He's got plenty of jobs. You know, we have a guitarist. I mean, as a full band, we have played with backing vocalists, drums and bass, but I think we have to reduce it slightly and be just show that we have electronic roots as well, and ideally with our visuals, then that becomes as much the show as the live performance.
Well, look, best of luck with the slot on the Marillion London show. That's going to be really interesting.
Thank you.
And tell us finally, Dobbs, about the track that we're going to play in this podcast, which is Rise and Shine. It's a new remix of the track, isn't it?
Yeah, my partner James in Public Symphony has his own studio in a sort of a suite of studios. And next door to him is a producer called Pete Lennister, who we're all matey with now. He produced Alison Moyet and Kirsty McColl and people like that. I guess he had our album, and I think he said, why don't we sort of freshen up the guitars in that track? And then we mixed it with probably a mix engineer who's far more experienced than we were when we mixed it. So it freshened it up, and it's given it a bit more balls.
In life and a bit for luck, we're blessed, oh yeah, with another day and contentedness. Bring on what may, bring a ready smile a prayer to say all hope, all fear. Maybe in my hands, baby, it's all here. Good morning, rise and shine. Sun is up, the love of mine. I'm high, I'm living life. Good morning, rise and shine.
That's a track off the debut album Public Symphony by Public Symphony, which has been remixed for single release, and it's called Rise and Shine. And that's it for another Get Ready to Rockcast. Check out the album reviews by following the reviews link on our main homepage and following the drop-down or A to Z listing. You can contribute to our forum and send pages to friends or colleagues by following the link at the foot of the review or interview. And don't forget, every month there are some great prizes to be won on our competitions page. So, until next time, goodbye and... get ready to rock.
Ready to rock. Ready to rock.
You've been listening to the second Rockcast, introduced by Peter Muir, production by Derek Timms for GetReadyToRock.com, incidental music by Amber Sand and Ray Fennick, all tracks used with the artist's permission.